We're up to Shir HaShirim, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Again, we're in the midst of the reminiscence of Klal Yisrael, of all of the glorious events and elevated status that they had at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai. The last pasuk, I think, was Mizuselim in Habidbo, Kisrei Oshon. The whole world saw the pillars of smoke and recognized this must be some very special people here. And of course, the point is that we're talking about Klal Yisrael in the Nimshel, in the Golus, having been estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the events of the past have been sort of nullified. The Beis HaMikdosh, which was Mamish, the epitome, that was the day that Shir HaShirim was written. That's what the Zohar says, Lo'olam Kedai Kiyom Shenitin Bo Shir HaShirim, refers to the day Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the Beis HaMikdosh. And on that day, Shir HaShirim was inspired and written. Shlomo HaMelech wrote the Malochim, sang it. It was the culmination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to Klal Yisrael. And then after time and our inappropriate behavior, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Klal Yisrael was sent into Golos. And, you know, we've been rejected. So, but yet, the whole storyline is we're still feeling this closeness and this yearning for Hashem. And despite the fact that He rejected us, we still look back favorably and lovingly on all the events of the past. The normal thing would be that once there's rejection, then the things of the past we forget about. To bring this into a very down-to-earth level, I mentioned last time about this individual who dedicated a certain yeshiva, whatever it was, gave a lot of money for dedication, and he calls up his ex-wife, and he says to her she has to come to the dedication. Why? Because he's dedicating it in memory of a certain person, and he was our shadchan. So she says to him, we're divorced. She says, makes no difference, but he was the shadchan. In other words, that's very bizarre to remember fondly those things that ended up in disaster. But not so the Klal Yisrael. That love, the connection with Hashem is so deep, despite all of the galus, that we look back at these events, they're glorious to us. They're warming our hearts. They're positive memories. I would say if they're memories of what you've rejected me, so I would want to wipe out those memories completely. But no, you know, it's true. We're divorced, but he was the shadchan. Memela. Okay, so let's see. So this pasuk continues that whole attitude. He named me Tosish el Shleimoy. Literally means the bed of Shlomo HaMelech. We'll see what Rashi says. Shishim Giborim Sovivlo has 60 strong men around it. Mi Gibor Yisrael, from the strong men of Klal Yisrael. Rashi, he named it Tosher Shlomo. Oihel, Oihel Moed, Vehoroin, Shoyu Noisim Bamidbor. Mi Tosher Shel Shlomo is referring to. Because Rashi said. That at the beginning, Rashi said, "Kol Shloimeh in Shir HaShirim is Melech Shal Sholem Shloimeh." Refers to Hashem. So this is the mito of Shloimeh, where Hashem rests. Where Hashem rests, I guess in English that could be used two ways. Rest is where you rest, and rest is where you rest. You know, physically, like you. That's the same idea. So the mito of Shloimeh. This is Oyel Moed VeOroin Shoy Noisim Bamidbor. They carried in the Midbar. This is Hashem's. Hashem's resting place, the Shechina, ve'osu li mikdosh v'shochanti b'soicham. Excuse me. Oyel moyer v'oroin, okay. Shishim giboyim sovivlo, shishim ribu sovivlo. Who are the shishim giboyim? The shishim ribu that were eligible for yetzei milchoma, which is the men between 20 and 60. That was the shishim ribu, 600,000. Migibur Yisrael, Miyotze Hatsova, that's the age of Yotze Hatsova is from 20 to 60. Levad Pechusim mi ben Esrim, by Yeserim al b'nei Shishim. Besides those that were less than 20 and those that were more than 60. So it was a big, massive thing. There were 600,000 men of the the military age, plus they make a cheshbon. There must have been a similar amount of women, and then elderly people and children. You're talking 2-3 million people. So this was the glory of the Midbar. We had Hashem was resting amongst Klal Yisrael, surrounded by a whole Klal Yisrael. And again, the Klal Yisrael now, who is deprived of all of these things, is reminiscing about them in a very positive way, because I yearn to come back. Okay, next pasuk. Kulam achuzei cherev. They're all holding swords. Melumdei milchoma. They're learned in war. They're in warring, in fighting, in battle. Ish harbal yerechoy. Each one has his sword on his side. Mipachad balelois, because the fear of the knights. Let's see Rashi. Melumdei milchoma. Milchamto shel toiro. And also the Kohanim that surround the Mishkan directly, Melumdei Seder Avidosam. So he says, Melumdei Milchoma, very important. What's Milchoma? The Klal Yisrael is thinking back now to the glory of the Midbar. Okay, so the Otaka, they had, I guess they must have been strong. I said they did battle, they won battles. They won all the battles that they fought. They beat Amalek. But the truth is, Klal Yisrael knows that that's not the power. Our strength is not in the milchoma. Our strength is not in the sword by our side. Our strength is in the melumdei. What's the lotion that he uses? In the milchamto shel Torah. In other words, the melumdei milchoma, the milchamto shel Torah. That rischa deraisa, that fighting and learning, and that's the strength of Klal Yisrael. That's what protects us. That's what, and that's what they're looking back and seeing. What this was the godless of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't the physical godless. It wasn't the physical power. All power came from the Milchamta Shel Torah, and the Kohanim from their Melumdei Seder Avodosim, which was also Torah. They knew exactly. The Avoda was very meticulous in all of its detail. They knew how to do that.
Wouldn't it be like they talked about talking about I guess the Mechanto Shel Torah, wouldn't it be greater to talk about the Zekanim who are already so great, who are we talking about after the 20 to 60 Chevra here, if we could talk about who were older and more cognitive, more illuminated Torah, unless it's just saying the Metzius was that it was surrounded by the 20 to 60 and they were involved in the Mechanto Shel Torah, but
I don't know. Good question. Maybe the idea is that that's not enough. That's not enough. It's not enough that there is Kenim that are. It had to be the Klal Yisrael. If the Klal Yisrael is not melumed b'milchoma, then we're not milchamta shel Torah. Then we don't have the protection that we need, which is really true. You know that. Mitzarecho, the tzaddik, and the godel is secures and is malamet zchus on a generation. Mitzad sheni, tzaddikim meisim, ba'avoyin doyrom. The leadership is taken to task when the rank and file is not up to par. So it could be that the idea was that in all this concept of Hashem's presence surrounded by such power and such protection, that needed to be more than just this Canaan, needed to be the whole cloud. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, Ish Harboy, Klei Zenoi, Hein Maseres, V'Simonim, and all the Simonim to remember the whole Torah Shebal Peh, Shema'amidim Al Yodim Es Hagirso, that through that they preserve the proper Girso of the Torah Shebal Peh, V'Maseiro, and the Maseiro, Sheloi Tish Takach, that shouldn't be forgotten. So here too, it's very interesting how they're reminiscing about the Midbar, but they're reminiscing in such detail. It says, okay, we had these people that were surrounding the presence of Hashem with the Milchamta Shel Torah and the Kohanim with their Yediyas and their Avodah, and then Ish Harbo, he says that they also were armed with security, that the Mesirah will go on for the next generation, because they had Mesirahs with Simonim. Simonim was, they made Simonim so that that they shouldn't forget. What simonim do we know?
Yalkagam,
Detzach Adash Ba'achav, you know, all, there's so many simonim. They were all devices because everything had to be done by memory.
What's
Mesoris? What? Mesoris, I guess, means the passing down of the halochas. All the halochas, everything that we have in Mishnayos, and even a lot of the discussions, that was all taught to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And they passed it down, but to faithfully assure that, even though it's not written down, so there was a Masorah, that they were careful to pass it on from one generation to the next. Girsa, they had to know exactly what the text was, because if you don't have the Girsa, then you don't have that you're missing something. And the Iker is it shouldn't be forgotten. There were great efforts that started in that generation to make sure that the Torah would not be forgotten. And that in itself is to me an interesting concern, because it sounds like they're being sensitive to the efforts that were made to assure that the Torah survived to this very day. Because they think, okay, they're malum de milchoma, they're learning, this is what was there, but there was something else over there. That was a generation that assured that the Torah is here by us today. It's still available to us. We're in Golis, we're estranged. Maybe we're far removed from where we should be. Well, the Maisa, we're still very concerned about that to make sure that the Torah survives to the next generation. Did I tell the story last time about Inayich Yoinim? No?
You said it last night.
No?
What? You said last night.
What's that? Inayich Yoinim. So let me just add, what did I hear? Here's Klal Yisrael in the Golos. Klal Yisrael in the Golos. It's a nice dogma to this. I told it recently. I don't know when. Maybe last night?
Monday by the Muslim.
What?
No.
Oh, all right, whatever it is. It may be some, you know, if I got one new person, then that's Purim Chadoshes, got to do it again. Okay? It can't hurt. It's a good story, yeah? And I think there's more than one person who wasn't there. Rabbi Aryeh Levine used to visit Rabbi Chaim Berlin, who used to be a Rav in Moscow, and then he retired to Yerushalayim in his later years. So Rabbi Aryeh used to go visit him on, it seems, on Friday, and he came in often when he was saying Shir HaShirim. So when he came to the Pasuk, Einayich Yoinim, your eyes are like this, Hashem talking to Klal Yisrael, your eyes are like the eyes of a Yoina, of a dove. So he would break out crying. Every time he saw it, he said, what's going on over here? So he told him the following story. He says, when I was a Rav in Moscow, a Jew, a not religious Jew, comes to me in the middle of the night, and he says, you have to come with me to Mal, my son. It was a sakona those days. They would catch them, the communists. They would, who knows what they would do to them. So anyway, he comes with him, and he does the bris. And then he asks him, he says, I don't understand. Why do you put your life in danger, you know, just to give a bris to your son? So he says to him like this. He says, I'm not religious. I don't think I ever will be. Frankly, I don't think my son is going to be religious either. But if ever he wants to come back, I want to make sure that he's part of the fold. He had a bris. He's part of the Klal Yisrael. So, in other words, here you have a guy so far away, he doubts that his son is ever going to get any closer. But just in case, that connection should not be severed. So, he told him, that's what Chazal say, Inayich Yoinim. The Yoina is a very unique bird. When it goes to search for food, it never goes far enough away from the nest that it can't see the nest back. In other words, it always makes sure that that's it. A Jew never drifts so far that he can't find his way back. And here, this is the trick, because there's a Masoiris. That generation in the Midbar started to make sure, they guaranteed, through the Masoiris, through passing on the Girusos, through Ma'amidin al Yodom es HaGirusov HaMasoiris, Shaloi Tishtakach, the Torah would never be forgotten. And a Jew far away in the Golos, this refers to everyone today. And even though he's so distant, he doesn't want Torah to be forgotten. And that's why I saw it in my days and experiences. That's why you find so many people, not religious people, no shyness, but they want to support yeshivas. They know the Torah has to survive. It's not exactly for me. I don't even know why. I know my father told me it was not for me. You know, he said it was too hard. He said it was too much of a pain. I don't care about it really, but it has to survive. And that's how I mean, for years now today there's a new phenomenon today. There's B'nai Torah who appreciate Torah, who appreciate learning, who are dedicated and committed, who are making a lot of money, and Baruch Hashem, they're making a lot of money. And these people are they're supporting. But in the olden days, it was mostly the money was with the friar people. And that's where you had to go if you wanted money. Even today, because a lot of the people today, but today they got so big, some of these people, that they could handle all the moistus. But even today you have that, because in the frum community, they're very taxed. In the non-frum community, nobody ever bothers them for tzedakah. Maybe a mishulach once in a while bangs on the door, they give them $5. So they have much more funds of it. So it's the non-frum. But why do they support? I don't believe in this stuff. You'll tell people, there'll be people to say, I don't believe in God, but I really think you guys are doing a good job. What's he saying? Because he's saying the Torah has to survive. The Klal Yisrael has that deep affinity to the Torah, despite the fact that personally, in their own personal lives, they distance themselves so much. Okay, let's just finish up over here. What did I do here? Mipacha baleilois, okay. Yeah, melum de melchom yishchar bal yerechoy. That refers to the maseres. The sword guarantees that it's going to survive. In other words, the sword is not the milchoma itself. The sword is in the it's char bal yerechoy. It's on his side. He hasn't drawn his sword yet, but it's there to assure. That's the moshel to the maseres that survives to the future. The fear of mipacha baleilos pen yishkachu v'yavo aleim tzoros, because they were afraid. Many will be forgotten, and trouble will come upon them. Now that's also, he brings the posuk of Chayinu Omer, Nash Kubar, make Neshek with your grain, Pen Yenaf, because otherwise Hashem might get angry, V'sov Du Derech, and you may lose your way. So you have to protect yourself by and this is the protection, I guess. We're not talking about physical food, but arm yourself with the S'chus HaTorah, so that it will always protect us. But here again, you have them, the recognition that they realize that, again, that the Klal Yisrael, who's in Golus, who's distant themselves, they have not yet been Mesak in the Chet of the Golus, because had they been Mesak in the Chet of the Golus would have ended. So they're still holding, you know, and the first base HaMikdash was Taka, it says, Vitra HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Gimel HaVeiros Chamurois, V'loi Vitra al Ofen Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah was the one thing he couldn't be mevater. Chazal say that the real churban amei of the oretz shel berachu b'Torah tchilo. They weren't machshiv the Torah enough. They didn't say birchas haTorah. They didn't appreciate what it was. So that they haven't corrected yet. We're still in Golus. That's the first Golus, but the first Golus, the second Golus really flow into each other. That even though the second Golus had specific reasons, but the first Golus hadn't been corrected either. And but yet they realize that mipacha baleilos, because if the Torah would be forgotten, there's going to be tzoros. And yet, yeah, it's very interesting. A Jew knows that the Torah has to be remembered. A Jew knows that if the Torah is forgotten, there's going to be tzoros. At the same time, he is not necessarily doing what he has to do. That in itself is a tremendous insight on both sides. It's an insight in cognitive dissonance. How a person could know something, and yet lemaisa, he's not doing it. Mitzad sheni, that even though he's not doing it, but that knowledge, that appreciation, is deeply rooted there. The Jew knows, and that's really the lesson of our history. That's mamish. Had the goyin say it. Koil koil Yaakov adai v'de Esav. The goyin says that the first koil is written choser without a vav. And the drash is hakal koil Yaakov. When the koil Yaakov is weak, the koil haTorah, then you're daim de esav. Then the tzoros come. When the koil Torah would be with a vav koil instead of kal, then you're daim de esav can't touch us. And it seems that realization that Klal Yisrael in the Golus, even though they may not be practicing everything that they should be or that they could be, but they still have the realizations, the intellectual realizations, the emotional connection, that doesn't leave. And to me, what this, I don't think we can do the next pasuk, it's too much there. We're going to have to stop. But to me, what this means for us is twofold. Number one, about ourselves. Sometimes we wonder how much connection, how much love, how much appreciation. We have a lot more than we realize. Because even those people that have nothing that they realize, they have so much. It's there. They appreciate, they know. There is a sense of chashivos. There is a sense of that this is our strength. There is a sense of the importance of the preservation of the Torah. There is a sense of that it's only in the Schus HaTorah that we can prevent sorrows from befalling us. Everybody has that. So, Alchas Kama V'Kama, we have it. And number two, it's a tremendous chizuk to reach out to the world, because the Maisa, they do have it inside. We're not coming to people that have no shaykhus. There isn't a person that has no shaykhus. There isn't a neshama that stood at Har Sinai that has no shaykhus. And Mamela, years ago we used to hear in the yeshiva from the Rosh Yeshiva, says, they're waiting for us. And frankly, we thought it was naive, let's put it that way, They're waiting for us. And I'll tell you the truth, when I came to Los Angeles in 1975, they were really waiting for me. They were waiting there with shotguns to say, get out and go back to New York as fast as you can. That's how they were waiting for us. Like, what's going on over here? And after a year, it didn't take more than a year, we began to see they were taka waiting for us. We didn't see it. They didn't know it. But they were waiting for us. And that's taka what Klal Yisrael is. And that's something that remains to this day, no matter how far they distance themselves. They never go far enough away that they can't see their way back. And we can't help them get